Blog Talk Radio.
This is One Child to Be a Survivor to Another Restoration, and I'm glad to be here. It is Friday morning, 7 o'clock here in the morning, August 18th, 2017. And I'm just having a coffee, waking up. I love that song. That song is called The Calling by Angel Wing. It's put out by XL Music Publishing. You can get it at freemusicpublicdomain.com. And that's a beautiful song. I just really love it, so that's why I put that on there. But I thought I'd play the whole song this morning instead of cutting it off, just so everybody can hear the whole song. I hope you're having a good morning so far. Thanks for joining me here, everybody who's tuning in. And have no idea who you all are and where you're at, but I appreciate you taking the time to listen and tune in, and hopefully these shows are helpful for you. This is mainly just a morning reflection, just for me looking at what I need to work on, how things have been going, and what I need to focus on for my healing journey. And so, hopefully it's helping somebody out there. And I do this sort of daily, not just Mondays and Fridays, but I just do the shows Mondays and Fridays. But I sort of take a look in the morning to see how I'm feeling and what I need to work on and what I still need to continue to work on and as far as my healing journey goes. And so that's why I'm doing this show. It sort of keeps me accountable to myself that I'll keep working on this stuff instead of putting it off, for another 6 months or whatever. So, if you're a survivor of abuse, you have to listen. At your own discretion, make sure that you're safe enough to be listening. Especially if you're just starting out on your healing journey, and you want to make sure you're not triggered by this type of show, my show or anybody else's show, dealing with abuse, because, these things can trigger people. And then if especially, you know, especially if you're just starting out on your healing journey, and you want to make sure that you're safe enough to be listening. So you can get that information from, you know, lots of different places, but NASCA actually has it, NAASCA, National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. Also, HAVOCA, HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. They have a safety section, and then the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse Survivor to Thriver Manual, has a big, huge 60-page chapter devoted to safety first in their workbook, so you can get that information for free and then learn how to know whether you're safe enough to be listening, right? And so that you won't hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, right? If you're not sure, just turn the show off, because you won't be hurting my feelings at all, right? And make sure that you're safe enough for it before you listen to this show or anything like it. Anybody else, you know, listen at your own discretion, because I'm talking about abuse, and abuse is a very sensitive topic. You know, most people are very uncomfortable about it. I had to grow up with it, and I grew up in abuse, so, you know, I'm just used to it, but it doesn't mean that it's comfortable. It's a very uncomfortable topic. And it can bother people and trigger people, and you know, we don't, you know, you have to ultimately know what's good for you to listen to, so make the right decision for yourself, you know. And everybody else, welcome, and I'm glad that you're here with me. And I do have the chat room open there if you want to check out the link to what we're looking at here this morning from HAVOCA. First, I'll just do a morning check-in. How am I doing? How am I feeling? I had a busy week, actually. The first few weeks of the month are very busy for me, always, the first 2 weeks of the month, any particular month. And the last 2 weeks are much more mellow, so I'm looking forward to the downslide now, because the first few weeks of the month, I'm just always so busy just going, and overtired and everything else. Then by, you know, after towards the middle of the month, things start to mellow out, and then I can relax for a couple weeks. And so that just seems to be the pattern, how it works. So I'm extremely tired right now. This week was really busy for me, and I've had some health issues, a little bit of health issues going on, sort of dealing with that too, a lot of pain, and it's been kind of difficult for me to get a good sleep, so I'm just running on minimal sleep and minimal energy. So I haven't had time to do anything, really. But I haven't had any particular horrible, you know, flashbacks or anything, or triggering or anything come up, so you know, I feel pretty good. I was a little bit angry last couple of days, just sort of thinking back on things. That's why I'm looking at this anger information. It's very helpful, and we're looking at HAVOCA's anger, so that's something I need to work on. Still working on, but it's okay to be angry. We just have to know how to deal with it and how to use it properly, like a tool instead of a weapon. And so it's very important to know this, and that's what they're talking about here. This is Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA, HAVOCA, Information for Survivors tab. If you go to their website, you can find all kinds of information there under their Survivor tab. And the anger section is one of them, and that's what we're looking at. So we're going to pick up from where we were on Monday. I'm not going to go back and repeat that. We'll just pick up right where we left off. If you want to listen to Monday's show, you can grab it there. And they said there is an alternative to using anger as a weapon. That alternative, using anger as a tool, requires several courses of action. Oh, everybody's horns are going out there, so there must be something going on outside in the parking lots. Everybody's alarms are going off. Hopefully it's not mine. And they said, recognize that we are angry about a particular situation event. So using anger as a tool requires several courses of action. They said we must first recognize that we are angry about a particular situation or event. So we have to recognize the anger. Two, we have to acknowledge our right to feel angry about it. We do have rights. We are allowed to feel angry about things, right? Three, acknowledge our right to feel angry toward a particular person if the situation resulted from another's actions. So they're saying we do have the right to feel angry toward a particular person if the situation resulted from another's actions. Number four, acknowledge our right to express the anger we're feeling. And number five, allow ourselves to express our anger in a constructive, non-destructive manner. That's what's important. You know, we do have the right to be angry, and we do have the right to get angry. Everybody does. But it's how you and how I express it. So whether, you know, because then it becomes abuse. That's why I was abused as a child. It was a lot of it out of anger. My parents' inability to handle their own anger and their own problems. They took it out on us and each other. And so then it wasn't discipline. It was abuse, right? Because it was just not discipline. And so I'll tell you that right now. And not all abuse is from anger, but some of it is, and people kill each other in anger. You know, get angry and kill each other. People kill people. People abuse children, abuse each other, because they're using it as a weapon, right? And that's terrible. But that's the way. That's how we really, as you know, human beings on the planet, haven't gotten very far. That's for sure. So we should be allowed to express our anger, but just in constructive ways, not you know, not destruction, right? Constructive, non-destructive manner. And number six, figure out what we will have to do in the future in order to protect or take care of ourselves in similar situations. So, yeah, we have to recognize the anger, right? And then, you know, acknowledge it, acknowledge our right to feel angry about it, acknowledge our right to feel angry towards the person if it was somebody who, you know, who we're angry at, right? But, and acknowledge the right to express the anger we're feeling, but just allow ourselves to express the anger in a constructive manner, not a non-destructive manner. So that's where the anger management really comes in handy. Figure out what to do in the future in order to protect or take care of ourselves in similar situations. I had to do that. I had to learn how to change the way I dealt with things, because I just picked up these horrible ways of dealing with things from my parents, who were two abusive, highly explosive, violent people. And so, you know, I picked that up myself and then grew up with that. So I was, as a teenager, quite often destructive in my anger, and especially because as a teen was out of the house more and dealing with other people. And so in the house, I wasn't allowed to express anything, but no feelings whatsoever. But outside in my own world, outside of the home, I quite often lashed out at people and hurt people, you know, even if it was just verbal. You know, horrible, absolutely horrible. I had to learn how to change that, because I wanted to be able to keep a job and stay out of jail and prison. So I was like, well, okay, you know, I shouldn't be hurting people. You know, I don't want to be hurt. I mean, I don't want to hurt people. I know what it's like to be hurt, you know, being abused, and I don't want to put my stuff out on other people. I need to learn how to deal with this. And it took me quite a few years to get a handle on it, because I thought I would have a handle on it and I would blow up at something, and somebody or something would cause me to be angry, and then I would go revert back to the old sort of style of behavior, which is abusive, kind of like my mother's behavior, you know, cursing, throwing things, breaking dishes, threatening people, even out in public. I've been removed from airports. I've been removed from places, right? Just because of my anger. And, you know, I just took on my mother's anger, right? And took it on as a way to behave, as a weapon instead of a tool. And so I had to learn how to not hurt people, right? So really, that's what we have to do, right? We have to learn how to not hurt ourselves and how to not hurt other people. You know, especially, you know, being in relationships, right? I wanted to be, you know, this relationship, my husband who's terminally ill, you know, when we first got together, I had to learn how to handle my anger so that I wouldn't become abusive towards him. And because he's not an abusive man himself, so he wasn't abusing me. And I just needed to get a grip on, like, my own behaviors. And it was really hard at first to try to figure out, first of all, what was the issue, that I did have a right to be angry, you know, and it's okay to be angry, but I just need to change the way that I allow to, the way that I express it, so I don't hurt somebody or hurt myself, right? And I still had problems with it, even later, you know, as far as the anger taking its toll on me, and then I wanted to, years later, at the age of 42, wanted to self-injure and wanting to having suicidal ideation, right? Because of the anger that I had towards my parents and towards the abuse that I suffered as a child. So these things are really, really hard to deal with. And, you know, for a lot of people, if you can't do it self-help, you know, then, you know, it's a good idea to get a counselor, get a therapist, or get some help in the, you know, so that we don't hurt ourselves and hurt somebody else. Because that's what, if my parents would have done that, if they would have got help, they were both abused themselves, and then they were abusing each other and the children. And if they would have got help with their problems, they wouldn't have, I think the abuse would have stopped. I think they wouldn't have abused us anymore. But they didn't get help, and they just allowed their themselves to use it as a weapon. And the older that they got, and the more time that went by, the anger and the rage just got, it became more twisted and more destructive all the time. You know, they were just getting older, and they were just allowing it to run their lives, basically using it as a weapon, and trying to destroy each other as well as their children, which was absolutely horrible. But this is what happens, right? This is why I'm doing this show. This is, you know, it's horrific what people do to each other. And we need to learn that, you know, anger, we have the right to be angry, and that's okay. But we need to learn how to express it, like they said, in a constructive, non-destructive manner. So this stuff's very important. AngerResources.com, that's a great website. Put out by Dave Decker and Michael Obsatz, I think that's their names. Dave Decker and Michael Obsatz. They have a great website called AngerResources.com. They have all kinds of information there. And you can take these little anger tests and a pretest and then a to see where your anger is and how you handle it. And they give all kinds of information on how to change these behaviors, right? Very interesting. And I learned a lot from that website, so I hope that you'll go check it out. And they said here, number 7, follow through on those means of protection. So once we figure out, you know, what we need to do in the future in order to protect or take care of ourselves, like they said, in similar situations, so that we don't lash out and hurt somebody else or hurt ourselves. Once we figure that out, we need to follow through on it, right? So they said here, our prisons are full of adult survivors who have expressed their anger destructively by abusing others. Our hospitals are utilized daily by those who have taken their anger out destructively on themselves. A self-protection is a necessary action, one that will lead to health and happiness. So do not assume that anger can only be used as a weapon. There is another way. Anger can be used as a valuable tool in our process of recovery, one that will serve us as well for the rest of our lives. That's very interesting. That's very true, because I've gone through and done a lot of anger work. I'm still working on it, but I'm in a much better place than I ever was. So, you know, it can be done. Most of my stuff is done through allowing myself to feel the feelings instead of just stuffing them like I usually used to do for most of my life, stuffing whatever's going on, whatever I'm feeling, whether it's anger, you know, rage, that shame, rage connection, anger, rage, or whether it's just sadness, you know, depression, whatever I'm feeling at the time. I just allow myself to feel these things and acknowledge that, yeah, these are real feelings and there's a reason for them. And then what I do is a lot of self-nurturing at that point. Go in and do, you know, inside kind of inner work. And for me, it's inner child work, but for a lot of people, whatever it is for you, whatever works, you know. Not everybody's different. Everybody needs different things. And everybody has different ways of dealing with stuff. But whatever it is, you know, you got to find that place that where you can actually allow yourself to heal, right? And so for me, it was inner child work. It really has made a huge difference, because I realized that it was all these wounds and wounding that took place was when I was really young, and I needed to get in touch with those parts of myself from so long ago, you know, that really needed some nurturing and some care and some love, right? Then they didn't get it, so that's why they're still raging and they're still, you know, hurt, right? So I've done a lot of work in that area, and what that does is then allow that part of me, that wounded part of me that I remember, you know, still, you know, today from, you know, being abused, right, in any different situation within our home by whoever, whether it was my dad, my mom, or my brother, mainly, and other people who wounded me, but mainly those are the three culprits, the three abusers. I call them my abusers because that's what they were, and they're all dead now. But, you know, these wounded parts of myself, you know, they're still crying out. Like, they're still in need, right? But they're much better off than they were, because I got in touch with them way back there. I think it was 2011, 2010, right in there somewhere. It was more like 2011 that I started doing inner child work, and with a program called Your Envisioned Mind. It used to be called Forget Talking Therapy out of Australia, but it's called Your Envisioned Mind. Beverly Searle and a team of people put this together, as well as Kate Mitchell, helped her out, I guess, as her friend. And they, she's my good friend as well. And they put together this program that really, really works. It works for me. I don't know about anybody else. There is testimonies on their website. But the thing is it did work for me. It helped me out immensely. And it's not a free program, but it's not all that expensive either. But they actually did this for me. They did this program for me, which was just awesome. But it does take maintenance. I have to maintain it. I can't just leave it for 6 months or a year and walk away from it. I definitely have to maintain it on a regular basis to keep it going, you know, because it's an inner child work. So these are these inner parts of myself that are healing along with me as the adult person in reality in this real world today, you know, Friday, August 18th, right? I'm just the adult person, and I'm doing fine because I'm not being abused anymore. I just need to learn how to take care of myself and be good to those around me and be good to myself, right? It's like, you know, these very minor basic things that other people just take for granted, I'm actually still working on, you know. But this inner child work goes back and allows me to get to nurture myself from so long ago, you know, this little person that I was, not getting that, you know, not getting my needs met. I mean, just for instance, you know, I mean, I picture just this one incident, which actually happened several times, but I, you know, I'd be being abused, especially by my mother, because she was my main abuser. I was her target, kind of a daily target, whether it was verbal abuse, you know, she'd lash out and hit me, whatever. She wouldn't always beat me up to the point where I was bleeding on the floor, but she would backhand me, slap me around, you know, just kind of curse at me, throw things at me. So I was her sort of little daily target, right, for target practice for her. And so pretty horrific, but it's very true. And, you know, or my nephews would be kind of harassing me. Me and my nephews grew up more like cousins, and we were always picking on each other because we both grew up, all of us grew up in abusive homes. My sister grew up with my mother. See, my sister was their mother. Get the dysfunction, the abuse, right? So my oldest sister didn't want children. She hated kids, and she was abused herself. I mean, you know, we all were. There was seven siblings that made it, and she was one of them. She was the first. I'm the last. She had two kids right about the same time I was born, so we're all roughly same. My nephews are the same age as me, basically. So we grew up as cousins, really. And then, you know, we'd be picking on each other, whatever. They'd always get the sort of the better end of the stick, right? And so I'd be trying to defend myself, and I'd be sort of either crying or something because they beat me up, sort of, or whatever. I'd be mad because they did something to me that I didn't want them to do. And I wasn't allowed to feel anything. I wasn't allowed to say anything. So then my brother-in-law, either be my mother, had me up against the wall, you know, either slapping me across the face or threatening to beat the crap out of me, or it'd be my brother-in-law, their dad, who would then have me up against the wall with his hand sort of, his fingers around my face, squeezing my face, and his hand on my neck, you know, threats like choking me, telling me to cut it out, you know, to drop it, right? So I was never, ever, ever allowed to defend myself. I was never allowed to say, no, don't hurt me, or no, I want you to stop doing that. I was supposed to just take it. So I did. I took it from my mother. I took it from my dad. I took it from my brother. I was not allowed to say no. I was not allowed to feel anything. I was not allowed to cry. If I cried, I'd be really pretty well beaten again, right? Because until I stopped crying. You'd have to stop crying so they'd quit beating on you, right? It's absolutely horrific, you know. And so that little inner person, that little inner wounded person that I am from so long ago, who just survived a whole lifetime of abuse there with these cruel people, really cruel people, right? She's angry. She's really, really angry because she never got to express anything and never got any love or care. You know, it's not like somebody would come along and hug her and, you know, brush her tears away and say, oh, it's okay. And, you know, you do have the right to stand up for yourself, and you do have the right to be angry, but you need to get a grip, you know, or whatever. Just console me, hold me, whatever. No, there was none of that. And so I have to go back and do that for myself, right? And so it's a lot of work because you have to do this in my spare time, as well as it just doesn't, you know, just you got to have time to, like, it's almost a bit of a meditation, right, to go in and do the work. But this is where abused children, I mean, this is horrific, right? If you survive the abuse, you actually survive it, then you have to go back and you have to help yourself to heal from these places, right, these horrible places of wounding and wherever they are. And so, you know, it's a lot of work. It really is. But that Your Envisioned Mind program has really helped me out in just about every area, and really also with the CSA, the child sexual abuse. So it's really helped me out. That program was really, really worth doing. I mean, I would. It might not be for everybody, like I'm saying, but, you know, I would say that it did help me out. So it was really, you know, it's really worth doing. So whatever you do, just make sure you get some help, right? So we'll look at the next part of this anger article from Havoka on Monday. It's called The Cost of Anger. And then there's the next one up after that is called Anger Management. So there's quite a lot to this section. I hope you'll go check it out. It's Havoka.org, survivors/anger. It's there under their anger tab. There's quite a lot of info there, so you can take a look at that if you want to. Next up, we'll look at a positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Kind of looking at positives instead of just negative all the time. Well, you know, I'm up this morning, Friday morning, up early doing the show. So I think that's a positive. I actually got out of bed this morning, even though I was really tired. And it's just important to recognize something good that's going on, you know. I was doing good on my rower, which I've had to put off now because I was just in a lot of pain this week. And a lot of sort of nerve damage is what I've got. And it was very painful. And so I just didn't do a whole lot of any kind of exercise this week. So that's okay. I can't be hard on myself because I started my rower, you know, doing good last week. So I'll just get back on it again when I'm feeling a little bit better. Mainly what I'm happy about that I think is positive is that I'm allowing myself to get some rest and allowing myself to take care of myself instead of just trying to be a people pleaser or trying to do something for somebody else or thinking that I have to get this done or that done or, you know, whatever. I'm actually getting rest and taking care of myself, and I think that's really important. So that's a positive. We can find a positive in there somewhere, right? And I'd say even if you just get out of bed and sit up at the edge of your bed and all you can do is hold your head up and realize and actually know that you're gonna make it and you're just going to keep going, even if all you can do is put one foot in front of the other. I'd say that's positive progress, right? And we have to look at the positives, right? Whatever we're doing that can to work towards healing of any type or just maintaining, just getting through the day. Because for so long and for some people, this is very, very difficult to do. So we just can't just look at the negatives all the time. You know, we have to find something positive to look at. Havoka, we finished off that getting started thing as far as their information goes, getting started affirmations. And here's one of the first affirmations that they have under the self-esteem affirmations. And this is on Havoka as well, HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. All this stuff is from them right now. So they said these are some of the positive self-esteem affirmations we could say. And I mean, like I was saying before, you have to believe these things are true, otherwise they don't work. But we can modify them. That's what I do. I just modify them to work for me. So the first one is, I am a happy, healthy, wholesome, beautiful, positive, prosperous person. That's awesome. So I could say that throughout the day, but mean it. You got to mean it. It has to be something that's really makes sense, you know, to us, and we have to actually believe because otherwise it's stupid. It doesn't do any good to try to fake ourselves out. I mean, I'm not prosperous, you know, as far as the world would consider me to be prosperity. My prosperous is much more better than that, because I'm prosperous in spiritual wealth, you know, like I'm prosperous because I still believe in love. I still believe in goodness. You know, they couldn't kill that. Like my abusive mother and my abuser dad who tried to beat this out of me. They did. They literally tried to beat love out of me, right? Every time I would be loving, I would be beaten. You know, I was just not allowed to be a loving child at all. So I was made, turned into them. But the thing is they couldn't kill it. They couldn't squash it because I still love to look at the stars. And I love a beautiful sunset. And I love being with people who love me and care about me. And I love it when people are nice to me. I accept their love and I accept their goodness. You know, I try to give it back, right? And I'm able to feel love. And I'm able to give it and share love. And I'm able to help people if I can, you know, try to be there for people. And, you know, learn to love myself. That's a big deal, right? I'd say I'm probably one of the most prosperous persons on the planet. You know, it has nothing to do with money, right? Or wealth or anything like that. I'm just one of the most prosperous people on the planet, absolutely. They couldn't kill it. They couldn't kill me. They could not kill me. That loving little girl that I used to be, that little child that used to want her mom to love her and used to love my mom and my dad, you know, same thing. I loved my dad, you know, and he couldn't kill it. He couldn't kill me. And my brother, they couldn't kill me, right? And the rest of my dysfunctional family, they didn't win. I win because I'm prosperous in love, right? And I learned I'm prosperous in what's really important in this world, you know. So I think that's a good one. I'm happy, healthy, wholesome, beautiful, positive, prosperous person. That's awesome. Well, anyway, we got about a minute left. So whatever you do, you know, I hope you have a good weekend. Make sure that you take it easy and you take care of yourself. You know, if you're struggling and you have no idea how you're going to, what you're going to do, how you're going to make it, right? You reach out. You know, because sometimes, you know, many times we don't have anybody to talk to. So you make sure you get some help. And if you don't have somebody to talk to, you know, you get help somehow, some way. I found anonymous help really helpful because I didn't have to give my name or anything and I could just talk to people, other survivors, right? So get help. And if you have to, you call a crisis line, but whatever you do. you know, you take care of yourself because you so deserve to be here and you so did not deserve to be abused. And none of us do. None of us did, right? And you make sure you get the help that you need, right? You have to be your own best advocate. I hope that you have a good weekend. I hope to be here next Monday, same time, same place. And we'll talk to you next time.